Welcome to the Fifth Circuit. We'll call the first case for today. Oral argument, United States of America versus Benjamin Martinez et al.
Good morning. I'm Sean Kajian for Anna Bagumian. The problem with the inferred expected judgments instruction was that, especially as to Ms. Bagumian, there was no one that testified that she acted in a way to either deliberately ignore what was happening, although, of course, the court did not state the instruction as a deliberate inference instruction. But there were two witnesses that essentially testified as to Anna Bagumian. One was Frank Montgomery, and the other was Sirian Mirzakhanian. Mr. Montgomery testified that he was paid to bring the patients to the clinic, not that Anna Bagumian knew that the money was then in turn paid to the patients. As well, Mirzakhanian testified that he believed that initially that the money given to Montgomery was to bring the patients there. The problem with this inferred expected judgments instruction is that the jury can take that instruction, apply it to Ms. Bagumian, and say that she should have known that, or it, the judgment would be inferred upon her that she should have known about the totality of the conspiracy, that the money was going in turn to pay the patients, but there was no evidence of that. She did not testify. And so there was no evidence to support giving that instruction as to Ms. Bagumian. She received a 51-month sentence. She earned $45,000 during her involvement in this, for the 1 year that she worked at this at these clinics. That sentence was substantively unreasonable. She had no control over of her job duties. She had no control over what anyone else did. The benefit she received was, of course, unremarkable. And so that was why a minor role reduction should have been given to her. So procedurally, a minor role reduction was appropriate, especially after the comment C to 3B1.2. The district court was fixated on his belief that she had a essential role, but that's not true. There were four other technicians that worked there. Two of them, HS and VT, also cashed checks. They did the same things that she was accused of doing. They were not charged at all. The district court said, well, they're not before me. They haven't been charged, so I can't consider them. But no, but you can. You can consider them as to her role, her overall role in the conspiracy, and whether she deserved a minor role reduction. Further, you could consider under the 3553, the disparity in sentences. Yes, of course, those two people were not sentenced at all because they were not brought before the district court, but the district court can't turn a blind eye to their existence. And secondly, the district court sentenced the doctors, Martinez and Simmons, to 28 months and 15 months, respectively, while they were responsible for getting the Medicare numbers. They opened, under their names, two bank accounts. Ms. Bagumia did neither of those things. For her to receive 51 months was too much. She had no involvement in the Medicare billing. The government brought a Medicare fraud conspiracy charge to trial. She was not involved in the Medicare billing at all. She had no idea. No one testified that she had any idea at the extent of the billing, or that $2.6 million was taken, or how much anyone was receiving as a result of the conspiracy. But more importantly, she wasn't involved in any of the Medicare billing. And so a 51-month sentence for someone in her limited role was too much. And to continue to believe that she had an essential role was factually, I don't think, correct. But more importantly, the Sentencing Commission, which promulgated 3B1.2 and amended the notes note C, specifically did that because the Sentencing Commission believed that this minor role reduction was being sparingly given, and that wasn't the intent. And again, furthermore, the Sentencing Commission made clear that being essential to a conspiracy or essential to a crime is not supposed to be a limitation to giving this reduction. The important point is that if the district court had given that reduction, her sentence would have been 41 months at the low end. Regardless, 51-month sentence was too much.
Well, what legal error do you say he committed as opposed to the exercise of the kind of discretion that we really can't affect?
The legal error the district court committed was misunderstanding the 3B1.2, its applications and the notes, because being essential is not a roadblock to receiving this reduction. The district court also, like I wrote in my papers, unfortunately believed that she had some sort of familial connection, in my opinion, based on her ethnicity, because the district court to her asked whether she was related to anyone else in the conspiracy, and the only question that the district court posed to that question to anyone else was Pogosian, who just before Ms. Bogumian, the district court had sentenced to 87 months. The district court asked Pogosian, are you related to anyone? And Pogosian said, no, I'm not. Are you related to anyone else in this case? And he said, no, I'm not. And then he turned to Ms. Bogumian and asked the same question. She said, no, she's not. There was no purpose as to asking that question because the pre-sentence report indicated no familial connection with anybody. To me, it had this apparent, the sentencing of Ms. Bogumian had this apparent viewpoint, from my viewpoint, was there was a racial, unfortunate bias towards Ms. Bogumian, especially considering her sentence, her very limited role, and the very short sentences given to the other defendants two of the other defendants that had, in my opinion, more significant involvement in this, were more essential to this conspiracy. So I ask that her convictions be reversed and her sentence be vacated. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
I watched that video of Ms. Bogumian, and as a technician, it's clear that she did not know what she was doing in that video. But as to the charges, as to this jury instruction, the law permits inferred expected judgments, the jury would take that instruction and infer and expect that Ms. Bogumian would know that what she's doing in the video was guilty knowledge of a healthcare fraud conspiracy happening. But that's a big leap. There's no evidence. No one testified that she knew that, for example, that activity that's shown in the video was then billed to Medicare, and how much was billed and who billed it. There are two witnesses that I asked the court to examine. There's thousands of pages, but Montgomery and Mirzakhanian, they support that there was no knowledge on behalf of Ms. Bogumian as to a healthcare fraud conspiracy. Specifically, even though it's true that the testimony was that she handed money in envelopes to Montgomery, the law requires, as to kickbacks, knowledge that the money is used for remuneration for services related to this, to healthcare. But it's not. There's no testimony from Montgomery that Anna knew that the money was then paid to the patients. Montgomery didn't testify to that. Mirzakhanian didn't testify to that. It would be pure speculation to say that the misleading instruction, this inferred expected judgments instruction, that allowed an alternative method of finding knowledge had no impact on the verdicts, Sullivan versus Louisiana. So for these reasons, the convictions of Ms. Bogumian should be overturned and her sentence vacated. Thank you.